Well, the cashless society is something that we've seemingly been moving towards for a number of years now. And while Australia is certainly one of the more advanced economies as far as tap and go is concerned, there is further to go, especially around the regulation of payments. The payment system, more broadly, is on the cusp of some major changes that will give customers more control of their money in their banking apps, while small business is also seen as a key beneficiary. For more on what the RBA is doing in the space, very pleased to welcome Head of Payments for the Reserve Bank of Australia, Ellis Connolly. He'll give an address and then be speaking to James Ayres following that address.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak at the Banking Summit. The Australian payments landscape is continuing to evolve rapidly. At the RBA, we have a broad mandate to promote an efficient, competitive, and safe payment system. Today, I'll focus on the remarkable shift Australians have made to paying electronically, particularly using cards. This shift has delivered significant benefits to businesses and consumers. But it also raises some important payments policy issues, and I'll outline the approach that the RBA has been taking to address them. Over the past 15 years, there's been a striking shift from paying by cash to cards. In the consumer payment survey we conducted late last year, only 13% of transactions were being made using cash. This has halved over the past 3 years. Instead, consumers are making 3/4 of their payments using the card networks, half with debit cards and 1/4 with credit cards. Australians use cards more frequently than people in comparable economies, including where cash use is rare, such as in Sweden. In some economies, merchants and consumers are now using fast payment systems as an electronic alternative to cards, and I'll return to this later. Card payments technology has also become more convenient for consumers to use. 15 years ago, these transactions were made by inserting the card into a terminal and providing a signature or PIN. These days, these transactions mainly just involve tapping a card or a mobile device. In addition, with the growth of e-commerce, consumers are making around 15% of their card payments online. The use of mobile devices for card payments has grown rapidly over recent years. Around 1/3 of consumers are making contactless payments by tapping mobile devices. Adoption has increased substantially across all age groups over the past 3 years, particularly younger consumers. The dominance of cards and the shift to mobile devices raises some important issues. We are focusing on lowering card payment costs for merchants, supporting the development of alternative payment methods, such as the new payments platform, and enhancing the safety and resilience of retail payment systems. On this first issue, the RBA has a long-standing focus on lowering card payment costs for merchants. The RBA's regulation of interchange fees, which are paid by acquirers to issuers, has directly lowered costs. In addition, merchants have the choice to recover their payment costs through surcharging, and this puts competitive pressure on these fees. Nevertheless, the cost of card payments is still substantial for small businesses. And some of the trends I mentioned earlier in card payments are putting upward pressure on costs. The shift to tapping cards and mobile devices has resulted in most debit card transactions being routed to MasterCard or Visa and away from FPOS. With the international networks costing on average around 20 basis points more to accept, this has added to merchants' costs. Online commerce has also contributed to higher payment costs. It is more costly to safely process online transactions, but there's also been less competition between the card networks in this space. We've observed higher wholesale payment costs for small businesses and for mobile and online transactions. Very large businesses are able to negotiate low strategic interchange fees across their card transactions. In contrast, the interchange fees for other businesses, which are mainly small businesses, tend to be much higher. And they face even higher rates for mobile and online transactions than when a card is tapped. The fees charged by schemes on acquirers are also higher for mobile and online transactions. There may be some good reasons for charging higher fees, such as to make online transactions more secure. But it's also possible that these fees could be lower if there was more competition. The RBA is focused on increasing competition in the debit card market to keep downward pressure on payment costs for merchants. Our main priority is to allow merchants to choose the lowest cost card network to process debit transactions. This is known as least cost routing, or LCR, not to be confused with the other LCR we were talking about earlier in the day. For merchants to take advantage of this LCR, payment service providers need to upgrade their systems to support it. To provide greater transparency, today we're publishing a report on LCR availability and take-up across the major acquirers. This first report covers transactions where a card is tapped. Providers have generally made good progress. LCR is available to be turned on for 90% of their merchants. Where there are gaps in availability, this is mainly due to the providers needing to update their old terminals. These providers have assured us that this will be completed over the next year. We will publish an updated report on this every 6 months to ensure that these providers are held publicly accountable for delivering on their commitments. In contrast, the take-up of LCR by merchants remains disappointingly low, with just over half of merchants on plans with LCR. Providers that are yet to enable LCR for all their merchants should be proactively encouraging them to take it up. It makes our payment system more competitive and it puts downward pressure on merchants' payment costs. For online transactions, the RBA had set an expectation that providers would be offering LCR to merchants by the end of last year. We recently received the first round of reporting from providers. While a lot of work is underway, the industry has not met this timeline, which is disappointing. We expect to see substantial progress by June on enabling LCR for merchants online. And for transparency, we intend to include a table on LCR for online transactions in the next report so that merchants can know which providers are actively supporting lower payment costs. The final frontier for LCR is mobile wallet transactions through Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay. This is particularly important given the rapid growth in the use of mobile devices for in-person card transactions. We've been engaging regularly with the mobile wallet providers over the past year, and we've concluded that it should be feasible for them to introduce LCR for mobile wallet transactions by the end of 2024. The mobile wallet providers and other industry participants are working towards meeting this timeline. Another initiative we're pursuing is to improve the transparency of scheme fees. These fees are payable by both acquirers and issuers to the card networks for the services they provide. These fees tend to be complex and opaque. We've also heard reports that the number and level of scheme fees has been drifting up over time. To help address these concerns, the RBA has started collecting annual data on scheme fees. Scheme fees make a significant contribution to payment costs, with net fees of around $1.2 billion paid by Australian issuers and acquirers to the card networks in 2021-22. The card networks, on average, charged issuers 2 basis points and acquirers 9 basis points of the value of their domestic debit card transactions. The scheme fees for domestic credit card transactions was a little higher than for debit cards. However, scheme fees were much higher for international transactions, which helps to explain why they're so expensive for consumers and merchants. Beneath these aggregates, there's a lot of variation in scheme fees between the different card networks. By publishing these data each year, we hope to generate more competitive tension in the market. We'll be keeping a close eye on the trends in scheme fees over time. Greater transparency could also help to boost the efficiency and competitiveness of payments using mobile wallets. Mobile wallet providers require the card issuers to enter into confidential agreements to enable their customers to add their cards to the wallets. So there's very little public information about how much issuers have to pay the mobile wallet providers for this service. Media reports suggest that the cost could be greater than $100 million per year and growing. Given these developments, we support steps to promote the transparency of the payment costs associated with using mobile wallets. Currently, there's some uncertainty about the extent to which the RBA's regulatory powers apply to new players in the payment system, such as the mobile wallet providers. To address this, we are assisting the government with its plan to reform the regulatory architecture for payments. As the Minister mentioned this morning, this will include modernising the Payment System Regulation Act with updated definitions of a payment system and its participants. Our preference will remain to engage with industry in a spirit of cooperation to address payments policy issues, and these reforms will enable the RBA to credibly deal with a wider range of issues associated with new technologies and business models. On to the second issue. While cards are currently dominant in Australia, we can see alternative models in other countries. In Southeast Asia, merchants are providing QR codes for their customers to pay by account transfer using fast payment systems. These merchants and consumers have a fast and low-cost electronic alternative to card payments. We could see a similar wave of retail payments innovation unleashed in Australia through the NPP and the Pay2 service. Pay2 provides a convenient and secure way for consumers to authorise merchants to initiate payments from their accounts via the NPP. Merchants can use it as an alternative to cards for online or in-store purchases, potentially using QR codes to make it more convenient for consumers. There are many fintechs lining up to develop innovative retail payment services that leverage Pay2. The service was launched last July, but only one major bank met the industry-agreed timeline to make the service available to their customers. It's difficult to promote Pay2 to merchants without a strong network of banks that are offering it. The other three major banks have committed to connecting their retail customers by the end of April, and they have indicated to us that they are on track. This should deliver the critical mass of consumer accounts for payment services to be able to launch using Pay2. And finally, the third issue. Australians are relying on electronic payments more than ever, so our retail payment systems must be safe and resilient. Historically, the RBA has supervised the safety of payment systems that handle high-value payments for key financial market infrastructures. The RBA is extending this supervision to include payment systems where an outage could lead to significant economic disruption and damage confidence in the financial system. This will include the retail payment systems that the government has declared to be critical infrastructure: MasterCard, Visa, FPOS, and the NPP. We will draw upon the relevant international standard, the Principles for Financial Market Infrastructures, and focus on the payment system operators' risk management frameworks, particularly around operational risk. We will also integrate their obligations under the government's critical infrastructure regulations. The RBA is consulting with industry on the updated framework and will be engaging with other regulators to ensure that we minimise the regulatory burden. A key focus will be on the safety and resilience of the NPP. The NPP processes payments in real time, 24/7, so Australians expect the system to be available when they need to use it. It's particularly important given the ongoing industry discussions on retiring the BECS system. If BECS were to be closed, the NPP would become the main payment system for retail account transfers in Australia. For NPP to be an effective replacement, industry also needs to make sure that accounts that send and receive payments are reachable. To monitor progress, the RBA will be requiring financial institutions to report on their work to connect relevant accounts to the NPP. All Australians should be able to access payment services using this important national infrastructure. So to conclude, we've seen rapid change in the retail payments landscape over the past 15 years. Cards have become the dominant retail payment method, and consumers find them very convenient to use. At the same time, there are some policy issues that need to be addressed. We look forward to working with industry to address these issues as we promote an efficient, competitive, and safe payment system. Thank you very much.
Are you interested to take any questions from the floor, or just me?
Oh, we'll see how you go with time.
Okay. Thanks, Ellis. Ellis has agreed to take a couple of questions, and we've got a final panel for you guys. Thanks for sticking around for the payments topic. Ellis, you mentioned that in your speech that a couple of the banks hadn't met the deadlines for the least cost routing. You said that was disappointing. Some of the major banks also failed to meet their deadlines for Pay 2, and I presume that is also disappointing, but that's coming next month. Do you feel that the bank needs sort of more than suasion? Is that enough? Would you like to have powers to compel the banks to hit these deadlines?
We're very keen on working cooperatively with the industry. What I can say, which is very positive, is the industry does work with us on trying to achieve these expectations that the bank sets. It is disappointing that they're not always met on time, but we can see concerted efforts that are being made to get these things done. We also recognise that it's not that easy to get all this investment completed on deadline with a lot of competing priorities. So in this context, this is where the work that the government's doing on a strategic plan I think will be really, really helpful. And this could possibly be the next step, rather than the RBA having to, say, use powers of compulsion, is some of these objectives, they really should be national objectives. They can be built into a strategic plan. It can be the government and the RBA, other regulators, industry together going, look, this is the timeline of investment that the industry needs to meet. So I think that would be a very positive development.
Yeah, and that strategic plan, Ellis, is under consideration by Treasury. Mm. As you said, the government is trying to enhance its leadership role in the payment system and provide clarity on what the priorities are across all these different areas to help the banks invest. We haven't seen the report yet. Like, how important is it, do you think, in the bank's eyes to get that policy out this year? And a related question with respect to the powers of the RBA, not only over payments systems but payment services, a potential change in the Act that the government has said that it's going to consider. How important is that?
I think both of these are very important. The strategic plan's important. It'll really provide that vision for the Australian payment system that'll put the government, industry, regulators all on the same page. And we've already seen the consultation paper came out late last year. We've certainly made a submission. Hopefully you've all made submissions as well. My sense is Treasury are making great progress on this and really understand the issue. So I'm really looking forward to that plan coming out. We can't expect everything in one go in the first plan. I think it's something they'll be updating over time. We can, you know, we can build up the detail, build up the pipeline over time. I think it'll be a really positive process, and we'll look back in a few years' time and go, yep, this was a key development. On the reforms to the Payment System Regulation Act, this is really important for us to be able to achieve our mandate to promote an efficient, competitive and safe payment system. The Payment System Regulation Act 1998, that pretty much says it all. It was perfect for 1998. It could deal with issuers, acquirers, card schemes. No one really thought about mobile wallets, gateways, all sorts of new infrastructures, buy now, pay later. Lots of things hadn't been invented then. And so having updated definitions of payment systems and the participants in payment systems will provide us with the flexibility to be able to continue working cooperatively with the industry to achieve our mandate.
Okay, Ellis, well, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for taking a couple of questions. We've got one more panel before the day concludes, so thank you for your speech as well.
Thanks very much.
Okay.